Welcome to the ball game. It's mid-October, Mr. Bowen, and you've changed your job over the summer. You're going to umpire somewhere else, and spend your Sundays watching baseball like you've done for 25 years or something.
Oh, a bit longer. No, we've gone into the
25
draft
and change.
Oh, that's right.
No, yes. I've gone into the draft this week and been picked up by the MPCA umpire cricket back there again. So I'm very happy to come back home. You might say.
Well, and Jack's with us, although you're getting near the end. Jack, you're going to miss one of these. You've got a bit of a holiday coming up, eh? Winning prizes. What's going on here?
Oh, having a bit of time off from baseball, so I've got to enjoy this while I can.
Absolutely. We've got Phil Bertram in with us as well. How are you going, Phil?
Very well, Neil. Good evening, listeners.
And you've spent a bit of time watching a bit of Major League, as of course Willow has, and we'll speak to him in a sec.
Yeah, I've managed to sneak a few hours in at night. And
you need hours to watch baseball.
You do need hours to watch baseball. Although the beauty of watching it on MLB.com via the replay is you can actually fast forward between the 64 minutes between innings that they have of commercial breaks and actually just watch the action. But no, there's been some fabulous games this week.
Absolutely. And Willow's going to run us through it, aren't you, Willow? How are you going?
I'm well. Phil, did you watch the 54 minutes of the seventh inning yesterday?
No, I haven't seen that yet, mate. I definitely did.
Great inning.
Jack did.
Fantastic. Evening, listeners and lads. Look, it's been an exciting week, and I finally predicted something right. Cubs, Mets. Can't wait. It's going to be the best seven games of baseball, in my opinion, that you can watch. It's going to be fantastic.
Now you realise that in that movie, Back to the Future...
Oh, good God.
The Back to the Future they came was October 2015, and the headline when they returned...
Cubs win it.
Cubs win the... And of course, no one, but what? Cubs, how could they win the World Series? So, you know, it's getting
closer.
Every
person that knows you play baseball is reminded me of Back to the Future this week. I couldn't give two hoots about Back to the Future. But if the Cubs can win, that's exciting.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Okay, let's start with the Houston and Kansas City Royals series, and the Royals won 3-2.
Do we have to talk about the Royals, really?
Just give us a couple of highlights, what you thought. Some of the other boys, Phil will want to say something. So, what, you go first, mate. So, what do you reckon?
I reckon Johnny Schuito, however you want to say it, is
Quieto.
A superstar.
Schuito? What is that? Schuito. Is that a piece of meat?
There was a commentator that was calling him Schuito. Anyway.
Okay.
That's a Johnny Japanese Quieto. Pitcher, isn't it?
He's an outstanding big game pitcher and finally paid off because he hadn't pitched that well before getting to the playoffs with the Royals since coming across from Cincinnati. And like we saw with the Royals last year, just a young, fit team that know how to play the game. And they continue to do it well, and they got the chocolates. The Astros, very unlucky, but with a very young and exciting team going forward.
Probably I think the key thing there, Willow, was that the way the pitching was set up, Houston only being able to get Keuchel for one game in a five-game series, it made it very difficult for them. The fact that they had to roll him out in the wild card game to win that, then, you know, when he pitched in game three, he really wasn't at his best, but he showed what a champion pitcher he is to be able to still win the game. But I think, ideally, when you look at some of the other the teams that didn't have to go through the wild card, and it clinched and they could set their pitching up. You know, Los Angeles set their pitching up perfectly and, okay, it didn't come off for them. But, you know, unfortunately, with that wild card playoff, I think that probably impacted on Houston that they didn't have that pitching depth to be able to get there in game five.
Absolutely, and welcome to the reason the wild card was invented, right? So, I mean, it's a privilege to get to the playoffs, but because you weren't the best in your league, then you do get kind of handicapped as such. But I agree 100%. Dallas Keuchel was outstanding through the year, and it's unfortunate that the Astros couldn't get him for two games in that five-game set because obviously it does allow with days off. So
Definitely close, though, with the six outs in the eighth inning and the Royals score five, so they were definitely well within winning the series. I don't think they wanted to go to the game five because they had to face Cueto, who actually was, I think he was 4-7 with a 5.4 ERA before that. So you knew he was due for a good outing, and they got it, so...
They gave it every shot they could. I mean, there's not a lot. You take out a few bits and pieces here, but there's not a lot they did wrong. They just happened to be on the losing side in game four.
Actually, I think that was also Kudos or Chutos or whoever you want to call him. That was his first postseason win too. I think he had four cracks with the Cincinnati Reds, I think.
Four cracks, no chocolates.
No chocolates.
They were probably all wild card games too, though, with Cincinnati.
Yeah, but I think that's his first one he's actually won in postseason.
Hopefully for his sake and for the Royals, there's a few more, though. I think the Blue Jays might absolutely destroy them.
Let's have a look
at that one, because it's the American League Division Series with the Blue Jays defeating Texas Rangers, also 3-2. Your highlights on that series?
Well, I think that Toronto just showed what a powerhouse they really are. I mean, they didn't get the start they wanted from Price in the game one. They went down 2-0, and then they showed how good they really are. A little bit of nerves after being so good through the year. Took a little while to settle in. Price goes to the pen, does his job, and then the bats come alive. And you see all of their bats start to contribute, but the main ones throughout the year, Donaldson, Encarnacion, and, of course, Jose Bautista, Joey Bats, absolutely showing why they're superstars, why they hit 120 home runs through the year and scored and drove in 350 RBIs between three guys. So... just the credit, I think, but I really put it down to nerves for those first two games, just trying to do too much.
They hadn't won a playoff game at home since 93, so of course the nerves were coming in.
huge things to overcome.
And he didn't actually pitch that bad in his first start. I mean, they didn't give any run support there. You're right.
It wasn't the Dave Ross led them through the postseason. He didn't pitch that badly, but rightly so, he didn't get any run support. And that's the nerves from those bats just coming through. So they're outstanding. And the Rangers did so well to get to the playoffs, and they've got so damn close. And then,
but again, they just missed by one inning. Four or five years ago, they were nearly back-to-back World Series champs. They missed by one inning. So is there yips within the system?
That's a big call.
I'm calling it. We've got to make big calls here.
It's just a question, Will. It's just a question.
No, I mean,
it starts an argument.
A player that you wouldn't question day in, day out, all year round, just happened to make two physical errors. I wouldn't even call it mental, to be fair. I think the first one was more, he was probably a rush job physically. He knew what he was doing. And then the one where he drops the ball, I mean, he just handcuffed himself. Beltre probably threw it at about 97 from 15 feet away as well. So that doesn't help, but that's the play. That's what they execute in spring training, and it looks like 7 months later he forgot what he did in spring training.
But at the end of the day, that just gets back to baseball at its purest, isn't it? You've got things that in everyday games blokes execute every day of the week, but there is implied pressure and there's real pressure, and probably in those circumstances there was a bit of both, and he couldn't come up with it. He showed he's a human being. That's what it's about.
The human nature shows that you can make mistakes, and when you're in pressure situations, that's what happens. And it's not a survival of the fittest, but the stronger guys, the guys that know how to apply themselves, adapt. I mean, if the tables were turned, there's a good chance that the Blue Jays could have done exactly the same thing if that pressure had mounted on them as well. So it's the beauty of our game. I mean, that's one of the most intense innings I've ever seen in a game of baseball that you're not being a part of. Just on the edge of the couch, just pacing. It was amazing. 54 minutes, and it was just unbelievable.
All right, mate. So Blue Jays against Royals. You've already put your heart in your sleeve. You're saying Blue Jays, you're behind them.
I think the Blue Jays are just too good. Their bats are too good. Their pitching staff is experienced, and I don't like the Royals.
I don't like the Royals either, Will. I think
that's through the All-Star voting, though, isn't it? That's the manipulation there.
Blue Jays 4-1.
Ooh.
Yeah, I actually think that's a really good spread. I might have a look at the odds of that in a minute.
All right, so now let's get on to
gambling responsibly, of course.
Of course, yes. National League.
The Tapcore.
With the Mets playing against Dodgers, and the Mets had a win. And is this a bit of fairy tale involved in this one, you reckon, Willow? The Mets out of it for so long, and now they're into it.
Well, out of it for a long time. Terry Collins has got a whole bunch of kids and a pitching staff that is just amazing.
Throwing smoke.
Absolute fireballers. And then coupled in with a couple of veterans, you know, a guy like Bartolo Colon, who's 47,000 years old and
just a real athlete.
Still getting it done. And just a picture of health.
So, do they change the radar gun when he comes in? Because there's no way known he's throwing 92 mile an hour. When DeGrom's throwing 93 and the thing's got smoke coming off.
It might be the catcher throwing it back to the pitcher. Just the delayed radar.
The radar definitely might be slightly manipulated, but they're an exciting team. And you got they're quite funny. And they're quite opposite to what you've got with the Cubs, and we're going to see obviously next week. But they've got the youngest pitching starting rotation, and then you go to their hitting lineup, and it's just it's mature guys that know how to get it done right. Kadiak, and those guys, and Murphy today excelling today, and then but with these arms, you just got to think how true is a good defense is going to beat a good offense, or vice versa, whichever way you like to have it. Glass half full or half empty, but it's going to be the definition of that. But the Mets did just played amazing baseball. They've defeated arguably the best two established pitchers in the league and in the game in Kershaw and Grunke. And
great too.
Yeah, I mean, outstanding. And that pressure battled on, didn't let them. You know, when they had the chance to win, and they end up tied at 2-2. Didn't let that get to them, and come out and played an amazing game of baseball today. And Daniel Murphy showing what a class athlete and class major league hitter that he is.
All right, so now let's look at the other division, which was Chicago Cubs and St. Louis. You know, Rob's upset. He's a card man, but what a great series. 3-1 Cubs, and it had a lot in it.
And you flip it now and you look at the best hitting, young hitting lineup you could possibly ever imagine. There's four or five of the most established hitters to come out of minor league baseball at 18, 19, 20 years old. It's phenomenal, the swings they come out, the opposite field power, the back control, the nounce about the game, understanding the game. And tippy caps are the Cardinals. They were the best team from the outset, and they got basically taken off the park by a bunch of kids that just are far beyond where they should be in their careers already.
So what happens? Is it a good coaching staff, or is it smart recruiting? What's the mix that's caused that?
They've had a lot of shite years, so they've had some excellent recruiting, but they've got one of the masters of baseball. I mean, Joe Maddon is just a freak. He's an exceptional character. He knows how to treat the human. He knows how to treat the person. He obviously knows how to treat the kids as well and react with them. But he's just a master of baseball. And if you want to watch and learn, and I mean, he's the one guy. He's at the top of the list.
So he's the Bertram of the United States, obviously.
You're flattering Joe there, mate. Sorry. No, I agree. I agree, Willow. I think when they signed him as manager, that was the first peg in the hole. They obviously they're the guys who have in their minor league system have brought these kids through have done a wonderful job, and Joe's put the polish on them, and he's trusted them, he's believed in them, and that's what having a young roster is about. And they're going to have their peaks and troughs, but being able to nurse them through those troughs and encourage them through their peaks. He's just a wonderful, wonderful baseball brain. And I'd love to have an hour with him with a couple of beers and just sit down and talk. How good would that be?
The breakdown of these kids as well, if you look at some of the things that they went through, I think day one of spring training, he said, I don't care who you are, how good you are, you start fresh and you be yourself. And then I think he said it about six times in a row, but you be yourself. You be yourself. And that's where these kids come from. You take Bryant, obviously, starts all the media around him starting in the big, so they send him down so they get to hold on to his extra year of free agency, blah, blah, blah. Comes up and will probably win Rookie of the Year. Then you look at Javier Baez, who played all of last year, gets in, I think his sister passed away early in the year, like spring training or the first week of the season, spent 140 games or 130 games in AAA. And now he's their starting second baseman because Addison Russell got injured. But they just got so much depth, so many kids, and they've all played together for the last 5-6 years. They know each other, and Joe's just been able to piece it together.
So we've got two fairy tales to get them with the Mets and the Cubs.
Absolutely.
Who are you going for there, National League?
Oh, I want to sit on the fence. I just think I'm excited for baseball.
That's great.
I think, look, I'm a Mets.
for me.
Oh, you're a New York boy.
Yeah. But if it's the Cubs, then I'm just as excited for the World Series because I think that these two teams are phenomenal, and it's good to be a baseball fan right now.
And the best part is, I think it's probably going to go seven. And it's going to be a flip of the coin in Game 7. And that's what we want. You know, like, we can salivate. Yeah. We're going to get seven great games of baseball.
It's like Jack said with the other games. You know, it could be equal in the eighth dig, and all of a sudden it just comes down to one play or one great hit or, you know, something like that.
Exactly.
I just want to see these Mets phenoms pitch again. Yeah. I mean, like, they're just awesome. And that's the one thing with going into this series, with Syndergaard pitching in relief today, how do you reckon that affects his next start? Because obviously he would have been slated to pitch Game 1.
Matt Harvey's pitching Game 1.
They've got to push Syndergaard back because he pitched today, but how far back do they need to... Does that mean he goes to Game 3 and DeGrom to Grade 4?
Syndergaard was... In my mind, Syndergaard still goes Game 2. He only needs 2 days. Today, he only threw an inning. Yep. Don't get me wrong, it was a very hyped-up inning. But
yeah, but he got up three times.
He was up a number of times before that.
There's
so
a bullpen day, though, for him, most likely anyway. So he was going to throw today regardless. They would have held him off, and he would have probably rolled it over in the ninth or played catch once. Well, actually, probably wouldn't have played catch today because they were drunk after the game. So
it was a very interesting inning, though. I think the eighth inning, I was a bit surprised. Maybe it was the workload and, as you say, a bullpen-type role, but I was a bit surprised he didn't throw the eighth and they went for the six-out save because their pitcher came up to bat in the ninth or in the top of the ninth.
That's the faith that they have in January's Familia because he's an absolute superstar.
Because they got two on with two out and they still went with him. It was just strange that they could have just held him off for one inning, let Noah throw the eighth and then bring him out for the ninth and shut him out. But, you know, it worked in their favour this time. So,
Terry Collins is as crazy as they come. So he would have had some mastermind plan in there that, you know,
but that puts the pressure on the closer then for Game 1 of the next series. You know, six out, he gets a day spell, but that, you know, they probably want to hope they don't need to go to him to win Game 1.
He probably deserved a 6-out.
You throw 7 days in a row in the playoffs, it doesn't matter.
He did retire all.
Okay, Willow, you're on the fence. So I'll just quickly go around the boys on the panel thing, Phil.
Oh,
it's a ripper though, isn't it?
Mets 4-3.
Okay. Jack?
Cubs.
The moons are aligned. The movie said it all.
Yeah, the Cubs. Yeah, look, just Hollywood never gets it wrong, do they?
Bloody exciting.
But I think it's going to be a great matchup. Absolutely. Good young hitters against good young pitching.
Absolutely. I don't mind either side of this.
Absolutely.
No, I think
it'd
be
great.
The other side, definitely the Blue Jays. Yeah, we don't want to see the Blue Jays.
I'm with you on that, Jack. I've gone 4-3, but I don't care which way it goes. No, but yeah, I do not want the Royals to win.
The big thing is Addison Russell, as Willow touched on before, he has 25 defensive runs saved at shortstop this year as a first-time shortstop. So that is a big out with a hamstring injury.
Very big. Willow, it's been great chatting with you. We'll catch up next week as we move towards the conclusion of the series. I suspect it'll be 3-all in something like that. It'd be fantastic. But thanks for chatting, mate, and we'll catch up next week. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, Willow.
All right. So that's exciting, isn't it? Great time of the year. What we might do? No, hang on. Music's gone silly on us again.
I think
Rob,
the Mets Blue Jays would be all right.
Neil, you've had 26 weeks to get this.
The power
right?
arms versus the power bats. Yeah, that's what you'd want to see.
26 weeks to get it right and you still can't find the buttons.
Correct, but I got it this time. And you're listening to The Ball Game. We'll come back in a minute or so and we'll talk about Division 2 in the local stuff. Welcome back to The Ball Game. And we're going to look at Division 2 games. First game, I'll start with you, Rob. Berwick and Ballarat. And Ballarat missed out last week. Went down 3-6 to Williamstown. And the Berwick City boys had a win over Bond Beach 8-2.
Yeah, the Ballarat boys they sort of found Williamstown on the rebound after the shock loss to Bond Beach in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And plus it was the first time the Ballarat boys had to travel down in their division this year. Still put up a good effort, 6-3. You know, I don't know how they're going to travel week in week out, but at home they're going to be very tough. Williamstown are always going to be thereabouts.
Well, they've won 17 out of 18 innings, basically, yeah. haven't they?
Well, they've come down from first division, and you expect a fair bit out of them. Mm. It's going to be an interesting game. I think Berwick City, they did what they had to do against Bomb Beach. I was talking to Disco and Matty Pryor after the game, and it was pretty ugly from Bomb Beach's side. The pitching wasn't all that super, and the hitting wasn't that flash. So you take those two parts, you're not going to win too many games doing that. But look, Berwick City, they're a young side. And
you're an old Bond Beach boy, Jack.
Yes.
Well, I know we'll get onto them later, but
we're looking at Berwick. Aren't we?
No, we are looking at Berwick. No, we'll say that. Just getting your thoughts, Berwick Ballarat. Ballarat's done Berwick's done a few things right already.
I think so. Yeah. We were talking to Dan. He was very buoyant about the off field.
He
got that right, and now they're working hard on the track, so maybe all this is starting to come together.
Have they got an import check?
I believe so, but I'm not too sure.
Can't remember the name.
He might be on the All-Stars roster for the Aces v All-Stars, which I think is this week or next week. We'll go with this week.
Yep.
Right. I think they're playing tonight. Tonight and tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Ballarat's always going to be a tough gig for anybody. It doesn't matter who you are. Going up to Ballarat's always going to be a tough gig. And the Yankees are pretty tidy up there too. Seth Heath or Health, what his name is. If he starts, I think it's going to be a bit of a tough argument for Berwick, and I think Ballarat at home is going to get the cogs.
All right, the second game is Williamstown playing Moorabbin. Now, Willie, as I said, only lost really one inning so far, and will be a pretty good side. Moorabbin had a huge win over Port last week, 20-2, do look like one of the front runners.
Moorabbin last week just flexed their muscle. That's all they did. And Port Melbourne just copped the wrath of it, basically.
Port Melbourne bought an import out, I believe.
Yeah, the Moorabbin import from last year won the MVP in the second division.
And did he pitch?
He started, yes. And he was going all right up to the left. And look, after
they
that,
touched him for 12 in an inning.
They got going. I think it was about the third. I think they got going. And apparently, the wheels fell off the Port Melbourne truck, and they finished up pretty flat on the highway.
Well, certainly Moorabbin have recruited very well. Grant's done a terrific job adding some very good experienced bats into that side.
I think where Moorabbin's going to probably, I should, in theory, if you look at it, pound for pound, paper for paper, depth for depth, I think Moorabbin's got the best depth in second division at the moment and should go all the way.
Right, our third
early calls.
Yeah, no, I think they'll be right up there. I certainly think they'll be in the finals.
They've just got the depth. They've got more pitching depth this year. They've got more batting depth this year. They've got a better infield this year than what they had last year, and I just think with a different approach from Urbo's, nothing against Benny for his last couple of years down at Moorabbin, but I think just a different approach, different attitude. I think, life's looking pretty good down the Panther pen.
All right. Third game is Port Melbourne playing Fitzroy, and we said Port got pumped. Fitzroy lost 4-2 to Upway. And they're always a pretty tidy side, Fitzroy, but they're probably not firing with a bat
I'll have a good chance this week, I reckon, to flex a few batting swings this week.
Game at home as well.
I think they'll do it quite easily.
You know much about either of these
Look,
sides?
Look, Upway, Upway have recruited very well. Donnie's picked, somebody actually jokingly called him Waverley Seconds. he's got a number of players, but most importantly, the two guys he's picked up, Evan Phillips at first base, gives him power bat and quality, spot relief guy in the middle, and Jared Turner. Jared, four-year college guy, probably was going to be starved of opportunities at Waverley and moved over to Upway. And he's a very decent pitcher. He's deceptively sharp, keeps the ball down, and... I think they'll be a team that won't score a bucket load of runs, but they won't have many scored against them either.
And Upway travelled to Werribee, who had a 5-3 victory over Malvern. So how do we see that one, Upway and Werribee?
Yeah, well, I think pretty much Upway are starting to get the feel for it now. And as Phil said, they picked up some players very nicely. Werribee, it depends on who gets on the hill. I think Josh Lee's back this week, I think,
maybe. Yeah, he's a good player.
you know, that gives him a 1-2 punch with Taylor Rowe and the young kid that threw the first week that threw pretty well for six digs until he came to a halt. I think Werribee is always a tough gig. You know, it's a different sort of ground, to be honest. It's not your standard ground. And I think Upway, it'll be a tight game, but I think Werribee might just get over the edge.
So you're going with Justin's boys, Werribee?
I refuse to tip against anybody over 6'5".
Okay.
I think this is going to be one of those matchups where you see the team come down, but you also see a top 14 from last year, and you see how much of a gap there is between how they warm up and how they play and how they prepare. It's not going to be, for me, it's not going to be what the score is going to be at the end, where the Werribee do get up, but it's going to be how they actually compare pound for pound versus a former Division 1 club. If they envisage themselves, as we spoke to Charles last week, they actually, obviously there's a plan for them to get there. So how do they compare themselves to a former club who actually want to get back up there themselves? So it's not necessarily a result in this game because it is still early in the year, but it is one of those matchups that is going to be one that you're going to say, well, Werribee thereabouts, or they're not quite there yet and still building. Yet.
Yeah, that's a fair comment. And the final game in Division 2, Bond Beach playing Malvern. We mentioned Bond Beach went down 8-2 to Berwick. And Malvern last week also had a loss to Werribee 5-3. So how are we seeing this one? Did you hear any whisper from your Bond Beach boys? I sort of threw that one out at you before.
You did. Yeah. Good win the first week to come back from against Williamstown. Mm. This is, I think, quite an evenly matched team. In Malvern, maybe it depends which Malvern's going to turn up, but I know historically Bond Beach and Malvern have played off, and it's been regardless of where they've been, it's always been really tight, and it's one inning where a team scores four, and that can do it. So I think last year we split with them, and they got us in the end on the last one, but it's very interesting. I have to stick with Bond Beach on this one.
Stick with the Bond Beach
boys. Yeah, it'd be a very close game. It depends how Malvern's going to go under that new coach. Yeah, Rob, I don't know who it is.
I think Benny Donald makes his long-awaited return from retirement this week. I think that'll give him a bit of a boost as well with extra hitting. Look, I think Bond Beach in a close one, but it'll do them a lot of good, because they've had a couple of down years, and I think to get their second win early in the year is going to be a good fill-up for them. Malvern will struggle on the hill a bit, from what I've seen. They do enough to keep sides down to 3 or 4 runs, but they just can't go out and score enough runs themselves.
All right, look, we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to have a chat to our great mate Dave Clarkson and see how Wavy's going, and we'll be back to you here in the ball game in a minute or two. We're back at the ball game, and we've got Dave Clarkson on the line. And Dave, you said you're out at Altona. What's happening up there tonight?
Well, I'm freezing my butt off out here at Altona. The Melbourne Aces are having a trial game against the Division 1 All-Stars, or the BBA All-Stars, actually. So,
okay.
Just watching a kid from Ballarat throwing, and American from Ballarat, playing for Ballarat, and he's touched about 88, so he's pretty good.
Okay. So have you got a particular role, just having a look?
I do some scouting for Cincinnati, so... Out here looking at players.
Okay, no worries. Now let's get on to the game. You guys from Waverley last week in Division 1, 4-0 victory over Doncaster. What was it? Very good pitching did the job. Is that how it went?
Yeah, we're lucky at Waverley. We've got a few pitches. We tossed out about 5 pitches on the day, and everyone got their work in, so. And they did the job. We've only given up 1 run in 2 games, so we're going on nicely.
Dave, Phil Bertrand, how are you going, mate?
Good, Phil, yourself?
Can't complain.
That's
mate, what's the projections for John Kennedy over the course of the year? Is he going to have any limitations on how many innings he throws? Are you going to lose him at any stage?
Well, it depends what happens with the Aces. And as far as the base concerned, no. There's no limitation. Of course, we have... got one of their scouts involved away with Phil Dale. So, and the way he's been throwing, he's only thrown 4 innings the last 2 weeks, 2 against Springvale and 2 against Doncaster. So, it all depends on if he gets selected to be with the Aces. He's just thrown tonight and has done a very good job.
Okay. Yeah, because there was a bit of scuttlebutt going around that he might have been going to one of the development leagues, I think in the Dominican Republic. That's not true.
No, he's staying here. staying here and he's going to get his work in through the ABL.
Okay, mate, that's good.
Yeah, Dave, was there any plan last week? Was it a planned move to throw that many pitches in the game?
That's the way Phil Dale does it. I mean, we've got to develop pitches and that's the way Phil's done it. He had Johnny go for two innings. He had Luke Papanicolaou go three innings. Tyler went two innings. I think Matt Wilson one innings and then Geordie Young one inning. So, look, it's a great position to be in. We played Springvale the first week and the young fella went seven innings and, you know, went around the third base and Miles Barnum and said to me, how many goddamn pitches have you guys got? You know, so it's a blessing and we're just trying to, you know, we're a young club and we're just trying to bring them on.
And particularly early in the season too, mate, I think that limiting guys' workloads, not throwing them too many innings early in the year, then in the back half of the season, assuming you're in the hunt, then you can start getting the required amount of innings into guys that you need to go into finals. So I think at this stage of the season, when you've got arms, it's a way to go.
Yeah, a classic example of that was with Albrey in the winter with Daniel. He threw a lot of innings and coming into the year, he wasn't as quick as he was at the start of the year, put it that way.
You had a look at Doncaster last week, and what were your thoughts on them?
Oh, once they get their American, I think they will be competitive. They do struggle with the bat. So, you know, if they've got a competitive American throwing, they've got to score one more run than the opposition. So they will definitely be a lot better once he's on board. It just gives your hitters confidence when you have got a pitcher that's going to keep the opposition down.
You're playing Cheltenham at Cheltenham on Sunday. Be a bit interesting for you. You'll know most of the Cheltenham boys, won't you?
Yeah, it's always good to play against Cheltenham. It's always good to have one eye on them and one eye on Waverley. But my heart is with Waverley, and you know they all say good day and all that. We're out the ground, and it's just a game. And after the game's finished, we catch up. So. It will be good though.
And of course they're coming off a win. They beat Springy 5 Zip last weekend.
Yeah. So yeah, we beat Springy the week before, I think 4-1. They won 5 Zip, so it's going to be
close.
A good game against two talented young clubs.
Hey, Phil, just one question. Oh, sorry for Dave.
He's Dave.
Phil's putting his hand up and go to the toilet now.
I'm skinny. I thought you was calling me Phil Dale, but I'm skinnier than him.
Everyone's skinnier than Phil.
Hey, just one question out there. Apart from the half a dozen scouts, probably the 40 players out there, is there any spectators?
Yeah, there is actually. I mean, the VBA have got all the presidents and secretaries out here having a function, and there's probably, if I stand up and have a good look, there's probably about 60, 70 people here.
So I didn't even know it was on.
Dave, last year you finished a bit off the mark. You missed, you were competitive coming in towards the finals, but just missed out. Where do you see the improvement coming from for you to actually make that next step and get through to the finals this year?
Well, all it is getting games into the players, getting game time. And maturity. We know where we are. We know we've just got to stay in Division 1. And we know we'll be a power of strength in 3 to 4, 5 years. So we've just got to make sure we develop the kids and keep them happy and keep them playing and gaining confidence every game they play.
Dave, always great having a chat. Hope things warm up a little for you. They won't, of course. But have a good one in the weekend. And we'll catch you again towards the end of the season, mate.
No worries. It's been great talking to you.
All the best, Dave.
Yes. Well, boys, who are we going to pick on that one? It is going to be close. When you look at the both results against Springvale, there's not going to be much in it.
Waverley for me.
Waverley for you, yeah.
Waverley.
Jack as well, yeah.
It's a full book.
Well, that's right. I mean, if they've got that much depth in their pitching, just gives them a little bit more, doesn't it?
Actually, it's funny. I was talking to Al Tanner, I think it was last season, I think. And he had exactly the same idea. He said, the best way to get through your pitching staff, give them 2 or 3 innings each week and give everybody a bit of work and that they're going to be fresh at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let's look at one or two other games before we have a chat to Matt Taylor from Blackburn. Melbourne are playing Doncaster, and we mentioned Doncaster went down 4-0. The bats weren't working. Melbourne had a good week early on and knocked off Blackburn 5-3, which is a sensational result for them, really. They've had a great start, Phil.
Yeah, and look, Melbourne, you know, the last couple of years been there or thereabouts. I think off the top of my head, the last two seasons they've been beat 2-1 by Blackburn both years in the first round of the playoffs. So they're a very, very consistent, very, very competitive side. You know, you see the same experience faces. You know, Kent doesn't get any easier to get out. Doesn't matter whether he's a year old or he's still one of the best hitters going around. You know, Boone and Burton and these guys, they're really, really good, solid, strong side. I believe they each year they never seem, whatever their contact is, they don't seem to miss with their imports. They don't have a dud year with the guy they bring out. So you know, they're going to be thereabouts. Doncaster, you know, I've got a long history with that club as a player and a couple of tours of duty as a coach, and it saddens me to see where they're at. And as much as anything else, they're a bit of a victim of their own junior development.
Okay.
You know, you look at, if you add Daniel McGrath, Lewis Thorpe, John King, Mitch Ellis and guys like that back into that side, hey, this is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, they're not there because...
They're being poached.
they're living the dream, really living the dream.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, they're unfortunately in a situation at the moment where, I mean... They've scored zero in two runs, and in two games, I should say.
Yeah.
They've got no offense at all, and that was their problem last year.
Yeah.
Now, they had a dominant pitcher in Luke Westphal last year, and they still couldn't win that many games because they had no offense, and their offense is no better this year. I feel for them, but I think Melbourne will thump them.
All right. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Happy with that?
Go, Dees.
Yeah, good analysis.
One more game we'll get before the next break. We'll look at Geelong playing Sunshine. And Geelong last week, a good win over Newport, 3-1. Sunshine just went down to Essendon, 4-5, which is a pleasing result for Sunshine. I mean, obviously they want to win, but they wouldn't be disappointed with 4-5 to Essendon.
No, I wouldn't have thought so. This is going to be an interesting game because, you know, Geelong... in the first game of the year, got up in the ninth, scored a couple of runs against Preston in the last to just get over the line. Won last week. You know, I wouldn't... This is a tough one. Probably the experience that Geelong have got and a couple of their key players will probably get them over the line, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sunshine opened their account this week either.
I'll go Sunshine.
It's a Saturday, Geelong.
Geelong are travelling away.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a Saturday. Geelong just don't lose on Saturdays.
It is a point it's a Saturday. That's a good thought.
Sunshine.
Like I'm just leaning towards Sunshine myself.
Because why not?
Just on what the boys were saying.
All the moons are aligned. The Cubs are in for 2015. Geelong just doesn't lose on a Saturday.
I haven't seen that historical video of Geelong winning, so... I'll stick with Sunshine.
Okay. With the ball game, after the ball game, we're going to have a chat with Matt Taylor from Blackburn. Won't be long. Welcome back to the ball game. And we do have Matt Taylor from Blackburn Baseball Club on the line. How are you going, Matt?
I'm very well. How are you?
Now, we'll let the secret out. We're actually talking to you on your wife's phone because you decided to smash yours. Was that...
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, I thought it was at least you'd get through other of those. I didn't know whether I could answer it on my phone.
Fair enough. Now, you're happy with the start to the season? Just went down narrowly to Melbourne. We know they're a good side last week, but it hasn't been an ideal start for you boys, has it?
No, I mean, we only got through basically 5.5 innings last week before the heavens opened and the ground became unplayable. And a 5-3 result was probably indicative. We hit the ball pretty well the whole day, but they kind of jumped us in one innings. We had a really good win, obviously a big win against Doncaster the first week. But, you know, I think Melbourne are going to be definitely the side to beat with Cheltenham on our side of the thing. So, you know, I thought we're a pretty good start to start with anyway.
Matt, Phil Bertrand, what's the situation with Bridie? The word is that he won't pitch this year. Is that that right or wrong?
Well, the answer is I'm not really sure, Phil, to be quite honest, and neither is he.
Okay.
It won't be this side of Christmas. He hasn't thrown basically for about 6 weeks now. And we spoke a little bit last night at training that probably within the next week or two he'll start to ramp up, and it'll then basically be about how he feels when he ramps up. Yep. So probably not trying to duck the question, Phil, but the answer is we really don't know.
Yeah, week-by-week situation. What about what about John Hussey? Have you got any idea when he might return to your lineup?
Well, he's been in the check and thrown a lot of innings over there, from all reports, and has another contract to go back next year. He's been in contact constantly with Bridie, and arrives back in the country, I think, either yesterday or today. So we'll know a lot more next week. But the plan is definitely, Lee, if he's available, he'll be down at Blackburn throwing. Just, again, unfortunately, I don't know the right answer. We just don't know how much we're going to get out of it.
I guess where I'm going with that is it seems like from where you've been in the last couple of years with Adam and John and last year with Jake Tuck, I mean, you've had really, really high-quality pitching. Now you're falling back on some young, inexperienced arms in, you know, Gavin and McQuiggan and the like. Yep. How much pressure does that then put on the rest of the team to compensate for that?
It puts a lot of pressure on. I mean, the bottom line is everyone knows that you walk a little bit taller when you've got a frontliner, and a frontliner of the quality of Huss and Bridie on the mound. It just takes a lot of pressure off the lineup, because you're not having to score 6 or 7 runs a game. You know that if you probably score 2 or 3 runs a game, the likelihood is that you're going to win. So it's a little bit different, but the good news is Jake Tuck is on his way. He'll be here mid next week. So that'll help the pitching lineup immensely. He'll be able to feed up a lot of innings for us. And I think, you know, if we get Bridie back around Christmas, we'll see where we are. But we're really happy with our lineup. There's a lot of good feeling down at the club. We bat pretty deep within our lineup. Jared Rogers is coming back through the twos for us this week. So we're really confident in our lineup, but we've just got to work out how we're going to work through our pitching.
Yeah, Matt, Rob Bowen, yeah, I noticed during the off-season you picked up a couple of Chelt boys there,
yep.
And Danny Mack and Nick Russell. How have they fitted into the club?
Yeah, well, obviously, Mack at a start with being a Blackburn guy. I think he's a 3-time premiership player here at Blackburn, so it's just a nice ease of transition back in for Macca. And Nick's been fantastic. He's been at every training run. He's worked really hard. And the good news for Nick is that he's right around the mark for an Aces berth as well. So we're not 100% sure how much we're going to have for Nick over the next kind of, you know, 6 to 8 weeks while the ABL's on. But he's been great. He hit the ball really hard last week for us, and he's one of the class centre fielders in the league now.
Yeah, a little bit from left field, but your seconds, how are they travelling? You got good young kids coming through?
Yeah, we actually have. I mean, Bridie's worked really hard for the last 3 or 4 years in building that kind of a lot of talent around that seconds and thirds level with young kids trying to push through. We're averaging 40 to 50 people a training run. The twos won the first week and unfortunately went down in a real tight one last week. But got guys like Mitch Edwards, Mason and young Barrett as well who are going to be really good players.
Now, I noticed that this weekend you play against Springvale. You wouldn't have seen much of them. They've come up. They've also had 2 tough games by playing, played Cheltenham and I think Melbourne in the first round. So, if you just slightly take the foot off here, they'll be saying, oh, beauty, here's a chance. It's an interesting one for you.
Oh, no, absolutely. The way that, you know, we're going to work our pitching, we're going to give guys who haven't established themselves fully as Division One pitchers the opportunity to come out and do that each week, and give guys like Jesse Gavin and Josh Horan and Matty McQuiggan to really sit down and establish themselves as Division One starters. So we know where we're at. We know that from our hitting lineup and our defence that we've got to be on every single week. And we're really confident in the fact that these kids are going to take the next level in McQuiggan and Horan and Gavin, and there's a few others behind them as well.
Yeah, well, McQuiggan and Horan have both been there or thereabouts, and when they've had their opportunities, they've actually pitched very well. Jesse's had that year or so out of the game when he actually sort of looked like he was going to step up and become a, you know, the really... the the front-running starter a couple of years ago. So it's good to see him back playing, if nothing else.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is going to be a challenge, and good luck to the young fellas. And certainly getting, if you get Jake Tuck, you're right, there's your innings eater who can take the pressure off those kids. Jesse Barron, how's he slotted into your side?
Yeah, he's a class act, Jesse. I mean, he's obviously moved over from Perth. He's had a bit of ABL experience with the Perth Heat, and you can tell he's a quality baseballer. He comes down, works hard at training, and he's fitted in our lineup. He made a couple of defensive plays against Doncaster in right field that were really good, and he's been our best hitter so far over a really short span. But I think he's probably, I don't know, 4 for 7 or 4 for 8 over the two games. He's hit the ball really well.
Matt, best of luck on the weekend. We hope that you're able to get up in the top couple, and when we start again, because we've only got a couple of weeks to go, but when we start again near the end of the season, we hope we can have another chat to approaching the playoffs.
No, that'd be great. I really appreciate it.
Good on you, Matt.
Okay, cheers. See you guys. Thanks.
All the best, Matt.
Bye.
Okay, boys, so what do you think on this one? Springvale, Blackburn?
Oh, I'd go for Blackburn.
Still go for Blackburn.
Yeah, I think they've got the depth of offence.
Yep.
You know, Springvale is still probably learning a little bit what it's
about
in
this
first
division.
I think Blackburn's... Springvale will certainly score runs against them, but I think Blackburn's offence, they hit
the ball well.
Nine.
Yeah. Happy with that, Jack? And
yep.
Rob? Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with Blackburn.
Okay. Preston and Newport is another game on. Well, it's a Sunday game. Preston knocked off Sandy 4-1, and Newport, as we said, went down to Geelong 3-1 last week. Well, your thoughts on this one, mate?
Yeah, I watched about 6 innings of Preston Sandy last week until the heavens opened and the thunder came out, and I'm scrambling for jackets in my car that I didn't have, and I decided, no, I'm going home, because that didn't look like they had any hope of getting back on, which they did about 45 minutes later. Look, Preston, they get quality pitching, real quality pitching. Hayden Godbold, again, going to be possibly lost to the Aces. He spent a fair amount of time with the Aces last week. He's given them 2 quality starts. Bubby Bazakiro in relief, although he didn't pitch last week because he had a little injury. But, you know, the first week against Geelong, he came in, and he'll just get better and better every time he goes out. So they play very, very good, solid defence behind good pitching. The knock on them is how many runs they can score.
Yeah.
They've got... they don't have a whole lot of power throughout their lineup. They've got some very, very good hitters. Ryan Evans is a grossly underrated hitter. I rank him in the top handful of hitters in Division 1, and his numbers keep supporting that. Jordan Lay, again, another underrated hitter. They're going to look... They really need the power to come from... Dean Marnell's got to start giving them some power, and probably then they look at guys like Cam Deeble and My Young Blake to give them some power. But, yeah, the knock on them is going to be how many runs they can score. Now, against Newport, who don't have, they haven't scored a lot of runs themselves this week. I think the pitching will certainly keep them in the game. You know, you've got to keep Lawman quiet. He's going to get he'll get his hits, but the secret is make sure there's not guys ahead of him on base so he can limit his hits. I mean, he's in the top handful of hitters in Division 1, so it's an interesting thing. At Newport, always tough to play out there, wind howling in.
Graveyard at the back here.
Yep. So, I mean, this is an interesting game. Preston, I think Preston should win.
There it goes. Funny, you should go out there. It is
I've been out there. Yeah.
I think Preston will win.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, probably realistically, we're not looking at 2 teams who I think will potentially figure in place.
In the top 4. All right. And happy with that summary, boys? Yep.
I think Newport need a lot of good breaks to go their way. And as Phil said, you know, if certain players can get on bases, then the big boy comes up to hit, then they're going to score some runs. But they're a bit light on, right through the whole lineup. Yep. Preston, they started off with a bang last year, and they sort of died off with a bit of a fizzle. I think having Bubby back there is going to be a big bonus for them. They might figure in the top 4 or get close to the playoffs, but... I think
you look at that conference, or that division, whatever you want to call it. They're probably the third best team. Okay. But I think there's a bit of daylight between Essendon and Geelong
yep.
and the rest of them. Sandringham, Matty's playing a lot of kids, which I think they'll reap the benefit of that in a couple of years' time. For them, the secret, their input's high quality. Yep. He's high quality. He's seriously sharp, and he's got this funky thing that dances all over the place. He'll be very good for them. The secret for them is when Stenhouse, when they get him,
yep.
who will add some depth to their pitching, and how many innings Sam Street's allowed to pitch you got to project that Street, if he's available to pitch, that he'll pitch for the Aces. That just goes against all logic if you got a guy who's signed pro who's not pitching on the Aces.
Yeah.
Again, assuming if Pittsburgh have got him allowed. Again, the knock on them is they're not going to be able to score runs.
So just quickly in that last game, we've only got a minute to go, boys. Sandy are at home to Essendon. You can't see Essendon losing that one, can you really? They're taking five in a row.
The team, Essendon's unavailables would beat probably seven of the rest of Division 1. And that's not being disrespectful to anybody else. That's just how good Essendon are and how strong they are and what a wonderful club culture that Peter Giles has developed.
Essendon will lose three games for the whole year and it won't be the grand final.
Okay. All right, so we're going for Essendon in that one.
Yeah.
Phil, it's been great have you
pleasure,
chatting.
Mate.
Down to 2 weeks to go. You're missing next week, but back for the last one. Jack, you're with us next week. And, of course, it's getting so close in the Major League, so thanks to Willow for joining there. Rob, we're getting close, aren't we? It'll end up being 30 episodes when we finish, two more to go.
We did around about 60 episodes for the 2 years, so we're pretty consistent.
We're pretty happy with what we've done. You've been listening to The Ball Game. Be back next week. Thanks for joining us.